Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. Crackle Fest number 3 is coming to Seattle March 1st at the Hard Rock Cafe there in downtown. It's going to be a good one, and it's going to be hosted by yours truly, me, again. I had a great time last year. It was so much fun. Had a lot of fun getting up there on stage and telling you guys some jokes. Great lineup this year. Pollen Storm, the Double Clicks, Nerds with Guitars, and of course, Kirby Crackle. So get your tickets quick. They're going to go fast at TicketWeb or KirbyCrackle.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
I'd like to have a little informal chat with you, okay?
This is episode 136.
Hail to the king, baby.
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
It's gonna hurt a lot of it.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. Especially this week. We have got a great show planned for you this week, everybody. 136. Can you believe it? We're still going. We're still chugging along on this stupid little thing. So anyway, we've got a great show, like I said, with the band Red Fang. Wonderful chat with four great dudes that have been blowing my mind melting my face, whatever you want to say, with their metal rock, their rock and roll. It's amazing stuff. I love this band. I've been trying for a long time to actually get them on this show and trying for a long time to see them actually play live, which I finally did as well. It seems like every time they've come into town, I have either been sick or I've had to be out of town. We had an interview lined up with them for last year's Bumber Shoot. I think it was last year's Bumber Shoot. Maybe it was the year before. But and then remembered that I was going to Hawaii. And so that didn't work out. Anyway, they'll join us here in the dining room studios here in the moment. But first, we wanted to talk about these sweet reviews that we have gotten. Let's see. This month. This first one coming from City Arts Magazine, man. We got a nice little write-up in City Arts Magazine. We made it into the trending section of the print edition of City Arts. The Air Raid Podcast. Aaron Roden has built a fake radio mini empire from the comfort of his kitchen, where he interviews local music luminaries Macklemore, John Roderick, Eric Blood, and nationally touring comedians Dana Gould, Nick Thune, Bob Saget. That's pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. And then this one. That we just got the other day. I was super excited to read this over on splitsider.com. And this may sound, maybe I shouldn't read this. I don't know. Should I just read this? I'll just read this. I'm excited about it, guys. And it's kind of my show, so it doesn't really matter, right? Anyway, this is a review of our last episode with Kurt Brownoller. Which was fantastic. Thank you very much for downloading, and I hope you enjoyed it. This one says, written by Mark Hershon on splitsider.com, what do you get, or wait, what do you do to get decent guests on your podcast if you're not Alec Baldwin or Mark Maron and don't live in New York or Los Angeles? Get your sound together and be persistent. Seems to work for Aaron Roden. That's me. Whose Air Raid podcast originates from Seattle. He hasn't nailed super heavyweight guests yet. I beg to differ with that. Bob Saget, man. Bob Saget? David Bazan? I mean, come on. Damian Jurado? Those are big. He hasn't nailed super heavyweight guests yet, But with the likes of Dana Gould and Pete Holmes from the comedy world and musicians such as John Roderick and Eric Early, Rodin's showing that podcasters don't have to be somebody in order to get somebody. The latest installment features his interview with comedian Kurt Brownoler, the host of Bunk on IFC, was in Seattle to record his first album, and Rodin snagged him. And even though Brownoler's not even sure if he's on a radio show or a podcast, in the early going, he's affable and funny. He also left a few openings for Rodin to dig a little deeper, family, religion, drugs, but the host opts to keep things on the lighter side. Rodin comes across as very knowledgeable about the Northwest music scene and plays some great bumper music, often from local bands. Check it out. Right? We've been getting a bunch of site visits from Split Cider, so thank you very much, Mark Hershon. And he has his own podcast called Succotash, which you guys should definitely go check out. It's basically, I think it's like a run-through of the comedy podcast world each week. I think that's what it is. I haven't personally listened to it yet, but he seems like a nice guy. He's a good writer, and, you know, yeah, go check it out. Succotash and splitsider.com. Yeah, so that's made me pretty excited about this week. To be totally honest with you guys, I was getting a little burnt out on doing this show. It's hard to do something like this, especially when you're not getting paid, when you're not getting feedback from you know. Not that we don't get emails saying that you guys love the show and your voicemails and things like that. We're not talking about that kind of feedback, but feedback from the larger community, showing that this little program, that the energy that we put into this and the time is actually doing something, right? So we do appreciate all of your emails, and you can email me if you want to tell me that I'm doing a good job or a bad job, preferably just a good job. You can email me Aaron, that's A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net. So, yeah, do that. Tell us what you think. Moving on. Did you guys... I know this is going to be old news by the time you hear this. Definitely going to be old news by the time you hear this. But that meteorite that came over Russia, that was insane, right? I hope you guys have seen the video. But man, I mean, what would you think if you saw that streaming through the sky with that huge plume of smoke and the loud sonic boom? I mean, living in Russia, in a small hill village in Russia, or hill city, I should say. It looked a little bit bigger than a village. But holy shit, man. I mean, you'd think like the, I mean, personally, I would think like, it's a missile. It's a missile, something, we're gonna die. That's it. This is it for my life. And, or I would think it was some visitor. And this is what I was up late last night, couldn't go to sleep, watching old horror movies on Netflix, which is just the greatest thing ever. Like last night it was just fantastic for me because I haven't gotten to do something like that for a long time. So that was awesome. Mairead, she was laying in bed. She was watching the show Girls, which is a great show, by the way, but I just wasn't feeling it. I was going to watch some old horror movies. Campy horror. It was great. But so after I was done watching the movies, I was kind of lying awake thinking about the meteorite and thinking like, you know, what if it was like an alien ship? And then my mind kind of strayed a little bit and I started thinking about, alien contact, first alien contact. And then my mind strayed from first alien contact onto that stupid joke, or the stupid, like, the witty, observation that a lot of people say nowadays about, especially when you're, like, picking up dog poop or something like that. Like, if aliens were to see you picking up dog poop or having your dog on a walk, they would think that the dog was in charge, right? It's such a stupid observation. I was thinking about it forever last night. Such a dumb observation. So let's go into depth on this. Well, a little bit. We don't have too much time to talk. I don't want to take up too much time. But first of all, first thing, aliens are not dumb. If they have a ship that they can travel all the way to Earth with, they're not going to be stupid, right? Second thing. If you have your dog on a leash, that means that the dog is constrained. The dog is basically your slave, right? So two things right there. Aliens are not stupid. They're going to see the goddamn leash. Now, switch this on its head. Now, if an alien saw you interacting in public with a toddler, now that may, you know, confuse the shit out of them for a little bit. We went to a restaurant last night, and with child, who's almost 2 years old, and she was not having it, man. And we were just trying. I was like, "Honey, would you like a breadstick? Would you like a breadstick? No. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Tatum. Sorry. Would you like something?" And I'm basically like kneeling in front of her, like she is, you know, she is the queen of the world. Just trying not to to disturb the rest of the patrons in the restaurant. I hate that. It's so embarrassing. But I mean, think about that for a second. If an alien species was to come here, an intelligent alien species were to come here and witness something like that, you would think the kid is in charge, right? The toddlers are in charge of this society. So get ready, people. Get ready. Get ready to be enslaved by the alien race, and get ready for your toddlers to rule the earth. Anyway. Let's get on with this, shall we? Let's get on with this. Thank you for letting me speak my piece. Red Fang, man. This band is fantastic. They're from Portland, Oregon. And let's do this. Let's go to our first musical break. The song is called Prehistoric Dog. I know I've played this many times before on this show. That's because it deserves it. And this band is excellent. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. They are going... currently, I think they're on their way to Australia right now. So if you're listening in Australia, which I know we have a couple listeners down there, go and check out Red Fang. They're going to be playing at a festival. I can't remember which one, but they'll probably talk about it. I think they mention it. And then from there, I believe they're taking a little break and then going on another European tour, which last year's European tour, they pretty much sold out every show, which is super impressive. To do over in on another continent. So anyway, yeah, awesome band. Love this band. One of my favorite bands right now. Red Fang. This is Prehistoric Dog, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody.
Come to Earth, lady. too. This is I like the name of this purple rain. I know what you're talking about. Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
Oh, Chocolate Rain. Yeah, I have seen that.
That doesn't sound like something I ought to be taught in.
No.
Well, I don't know if it's actual chocolate.
Even still, that
I could deal with it.
You could handle it.
Yeah.
What if it was, well, if it was molten chocolate?
Well, okay. Well, it would.
That'd be a different song.
Do you guys ever request that in like your green room, like a chocolate fountain?
We always do.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's we like always normal, receive it.
A normal thing.
So if we don't get it, if there's one time when we don't get it, you believe me, people will find out.
Yeah.
Because you'll blog about it.
Heads will roll.
And our fondue water fountain.
Fondue water fountain.
Yeah,
I love dipping bread in water and then eating it.
That sounds disgusting. Well, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for coming by the Dining Room Studios. Really appreciate it. You just got off up in Bellingham. Played a show last night up in Bellingham.
Yes.
Yeah. How'd it go?
It was lovely.
Yeah.
There's very energetic people up there.
Excellent. Excellent. And you're slated to play Numos tonight. Do you guys come up to Seattle very often? Or when was the last time you were here?
We make it up pretty regularly. We played a tattoo. What was that tattoo thing we played at Numo's? Was that in the summer? I would say we come up here at least once a year.
Uh-huh.
It's not enough. I think
if not twice.
I think we could up our Seattle visits. I don't know.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should.
Okay. We'll come every week.
There you go.
Yeah, we're going to do a residency at Starbucks or something.
yeah. That could prove to be a very lucrative for you guys, I think. Yeah, yeah.
I hear there's quite a buzz about shows there.
Oh, man, yeah.
that was terrible.
No, it wasn't. It's so good.
I think it's being done.
So I've been trying to get you guys on the show for like, I don't know, ever since I really started this thing. And you guys were supposed to come on last year when you were here for Bumbershoot, and then I forgot that I was actually going to Hawaii during that time, so that didn't work out.
We got bumped.
Yeah, you got bumped by... Oh, Jesus.
Man.
So are there a lot of puns that just float around the tour van?
No, this is the first set of puns we've ever tried out.
This is a beta test of our punning.
Right. We're just considering incorporating it into our van chatter.
Yeah, you're just seeing how it works out.
We have a lot of pun potential, I think.
Holy shit.
It started already. Here we go.
I'm going to cut all this out.
I want to go back. I want to go back to the Starbucks thing. So
did you guys, because I take it you guys are, we've been talking before we started recording this, and I think we have some interests in common.
Are we recording this?
Yeah, this is all being recorded.
All right.
Up to right now, it's all going to be cut out.
Okay.
But yeah, we are recording.
So I'm switching to my radio voice.
There you
now.
Go. Okay. Yeah. So did you guys see the video of this meteor that came down over Russia?
No.
Is this a joke?
No, I'm not.
No.
I heard about it.
I heard about it just yesterday in the van.
I don't know anything about it yet.
Holy.
Is it? It's pretty
shit.
Boring.
No, well, you heard about the asteroid that was coming like super close to
right.
Earth yesterday.
Brian told me about yesterday.
That one's coming. Today.
No,
it was
yesterday.
The 15th. Yes, and it was like real darn close.
Yeah, yeah. The size of like a football field or something like that.
126 yards.
That's too
crazy.
That's too much.
And so there was this. Also yesterday, there was this this school bus size chunk of this thing
of the same.
I think it was. They're saying it was like a total coincidence. But come on, really? But so the school bus size chunk of meteor flew over, like entered Earth's atmosphere over Russia in this small like hill town, and apparently over there everybody has a dashboard cam because there's not good insurance for getting in vehicle fender benders.
Uh-huh.
And so. Just tons of people, thousands of people had video of this thing entering Earth's atmosphere. And the sonic boom was so loud that it, like, crushed buildings.
Dude.
Wow.
And there was, like, thousands of people that were injured and in the hospital.
It's impressive.
Cool. Yeah. Impressive.
Yeah.
It's not good,
it's
but
impressive.
It is impressive.
I want to see that video.
Yeah, you gotta check out this video.
I'll check it out.
It's pretty amazing. But, like, I was thinking yesterday, I was like, well, you know, this could be the start to every post-apocalyptic movie that I've ever seen in my life. So I was kind of thinking I should have been preparing with, like, a lot of canned goods. And, like, and maybe, you know, the only thing I could think about really was the book The Road. Has any of you guys read that?
Yeah.
We all read it on the road.
Nice. Nice. This is a quick book, man. Yeah. I think I read it in, like, 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is unprecedented for my reading level.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I could think about, and all, you know, I was just thinking about, okay, well, prepare yourself because your wife is going to be dead, and then you're just going to have to walk around this earth with your daughter and show her what a Coca-Cola tastes like at some point. But you know, there's something about the post-apocalyptic thing that is like so romantic to me. You know, like there's a part of me that actually wants that to happen. Can you guys feel that?
I understand that. When there was the big Y2K scare, all the computers were going to shut down. I was hoping at least there would be like some blackouts for like a couple days, just to kind of shake people up and make them
just get the anarchy kind of flowing in people's veins a little bit.
I understand that.
Yeah. There's
pretty scary, but yeah. Oh yeah, sure.
There you go.
There's the Great Flood of 1990 something, 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. In Portland, and they were warning about it for days ahead of time because there had already been a bunch of rain, and then they knew that there was a big storm coming in, and it was pretty devastating. It wasn't really like extensively devastating, but it did. There's some. I actually watched an apartment building fall off of a hillside and roll down the hill, and there was a lot of flooding downtown. And I think Bill Clinton came out and threw some sand onto a pile or something.
With a golden shovel.
Yeah. And, but, you know, and although it was, you know, you don't really celebrate the destruction of people's homes or anything. I did get this kind of perverse glee from watching, nature kind of overtake the artifice that man has built, that he's built this kind of like safe place for himself to live. But, it's just a reminder that nature ultimately is always going to win, and we're going to lose.
And we are a surface nuisance at best.
Yeah. I found myself kind of rooting for more rain, and I wanted the floods to get higher.
You live on top of a hill.
Exactly. That's where I was going. Some friends of mine actually, they were a lot of people whose houses were getting damaged are people who built like on a floodplain because it's so close to the river. It has a beautiful view, so they have these $1 million houses that were getting destroyed, and so we were kind of laughing at them.
Yeah.
And there was all these things on the news about don't flush your toilets and don't do laundry. And so some other friends who were a little bit more evil than I am made a point of doing as much laundry as possible and taking really long showers.
That's terrible. that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. I always like kind of daydream about the zombie apocalypse. Like, are you guys into the like Walking Dead and stuff like that?
I like the Sleeping Dead. They're Walking Dead are too energetic.
Too fast for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much, you know, zombies or dystopian future, all that stuff. You know, I'll read it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you watch it? Do you watch The Walking Dead, the show?
I do.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the new? I guess this is like continuation of the mid season.
Let's do some spoilers.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Everyone
dies.
Yeah. Sorry.
And then what happens after they die? Zombies.
They walk.
They come back to life. Like there's something that I find very intriguing about thinking about like the zombie apocalypse. And I think it's not so much like being able to shoot people, but it's more about like, well, then I could finally own like a vintage Fender Jazzmaster, you know, because they'd be easy to come by, right? Because nobody would really want them anymore.
Unless it was the Rocking Dead.
Yeah. Unless it was you guys. I'd have to battle you guys for all the vintage Fenders that were stacked in people's attics. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys actually play a lot of Fender equipment too, right?
Mm-hmm. Your stuff is Fender.
Yeah. You're wearing a Gibson hat, but it's crossed out with a Fender sticker on it.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
I have a post Fender bass G&L.
Ah,
Leo
yes.
Fender built it by hand with his teeth.
By hand with his teeth?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I use...
I wasn't there.
Telecaster Thin Lines are like my favorite guitar. I have a 72 And then I have two reissues.
Get a little closer to that guy there.
But yeah, I like Fenders. They're great, especially the thin lines. Yeah, they have, yeah. It's Tele, but it's humbuckers, which I really like. So.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, did you guys, is that just kind of a holdover from what you, like your first guitar that you ever got?
It is, actually. The first guitar I ever bought was a 72 Telecaster thin line. And
really?
I had it since, I think I bought it in like 91, and I just got used to
that
it.
Was your so fir- that I was like. Your first guitar, like yeah, no I went acoustic to a, before
I,
that?
I bought it used at a store in Raleigh, North Carolina. And well, I mean, I borrowed guitars. Actually, I did have, my mom had an acoustic when I was really young.
Uh-huh.
But before that, yeah, I was borrowing guitars. So that was the first guitar I ever bought myself. It was a 72 thin
line. Wow.
I just went and played some guitars, and it felt awesome. So
yeah,
I
yeah.
got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you get it for really ridiculously cheap,
I guess,
also?
Compared to now, since they've reissued it, I got it for cheap. I paid $575 for
what?
It, plus a nice flight case came with
that's
it.
That's yeah.
in
1961
dollars,
though.
I guess, you know, people didn't think they were that cool back then.
But, yeah.
I loved
yeah.
it. So, and now that they've reissued it, the originals are really expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
It's beat up. It's really worn, but I love it. It's still a great guitar.
Yeah. And you play, let's go around really quick and introduce you guys. I'm sorry. I forgot to do that first.
I am GNL SB1 and I play Aaron Beam.
I'm David. I play guitar.
I'm Brian. I play guitar.
And I'm John and I don't play guitar. I do play the drums.
John's just sitting there making sure that he doesn't get spoken to.
He's judging.
Making sure he doesn't get spoken to.
Arms
How do you
crossed,
do that?
Tattoos showing.
Don't speak to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's body language.
It's all about body language. So, I mean, I think I became obsessed with Fender guitars because of Hendrix. You know, and in like junior high I became obsessed with Jimi Hendrix and seeing that Fender Stratocaster that he was wrangling like some kind of python was just amazing. So like I never had any want for like a Gibson or anything like that. Do you guys have memories like that?
I love Gibsons.
Do you?
Yeah. It's weird. I love Gibsons too. And because I think like a Les Paul is the first guitar. I was like, oh man, that's cool. But then when it came down to actually buy a guitar, I guess I couldn't afford a Les Paul. So I
right, right. They were always kind of expensive.
Yeah. So yeah, I ended up with a Fender, and I loved it. But I think Gibsons are awesome, too. There's, I mean, so many good guitars. Mm-hmm. Gretsches.
I had a Les Paul, studio Les Paul, and it was just so heavy.
Oh, yeah. They are heavy.
Giving me back problems. Yeah. And I was in my 20s, and I was like, oh, this is too heavy.
That Gibson grabber bass is pretty cool, but I don't have one of those.
What's that one?
It's
is that the double horn one?
Yeah, it's double horn. It has a pickup that slides up and down.
Oh, pretty really?
Cool looking thing, man.
Wow.
I don't really know what the point of that is. I think it's a gimmick.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't care. I like gimmicks.
Like those Ampeg guitars where you could switch out the plug-in pickup.
Yeah.
Made of Lucite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome.
Like those sneakers.
Maybe you guys should get those. You guys should have. Here's my idea for your band.
Okay.
All right, you guys should have all matching equipment.
We do.
Almost. The amps are
sort of
Beta leads and Beta bass.
Yeah, but see, I'm talking about like it's more guitars. You guys should have
like
all
black and white stripes,
like outfits.
Hello Kitty Dean.
All right, like all the same
Dean
color,
guitars or
all
something.
Same model. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, totally.
Not a bad idea.
You should wear suits.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. You know that's funny. My mom was just telling me the same thing. She said, "Oh, well." Those guys are wearing outfits. Maybe you guys could wear outfits. Like, well, so I kind of am wearing an outfit, aren't I? I'm wearing pants.
Yeah, you're not naked.
We're not a nudist band.
One of my favorite stories from, there's a book by a guy called Keith Richards. It was called Life.
I'm not familiar with
the... It's just the thing that happens between birth and death. And anyway, he...
it's also a board game.
Right, and a cereal. He was, sorry, John, your arms were folded.
Body language.
He's telling a story about seeing some, you know, when they were first starting out playing with some other bands in the States. And he said all these bands were, they would always change clothes before they went out on stage. They had their street clothes and they would change into, outfits when they went up. I think it was Bobby Keys maybe even telling the story. And then he said he saw the Rolling Stones all talking to each other, and they said, hey, we should change clothes before we go and play too. And then they all just took off the clothes they were wearing and just switched with other people in the band. They just changed clothes. They didn't. Okay.
So they were
That's good.
They
That's
were
good.
Malfitting.
Oh, I'm going to go back. I'm going to take a nap.
That was the look.
So
yeah, we're not going to wear outfits. That's the point of my story.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of picking up that vibe. Mm-hmm. So I'll take that back.
We did. You guys think
about it.
There
that's
was
all I
some
asked.
Discussion a long time ago about all wearing brown.
Yeah, I think it was because I used to wear a lot of brown and I didn't feel like getting new clothes.
So you figured make all of us get rid of our black t-shirts and get brown t-shirts.
Yeah, it worked.
It so worked.
So you guys, let's see. I just watched the video's tour diary of your guys' last European tour, which looked fucking amazing, by the way. I mean, did that? I get the sense that really blew you guys away too, like the amount of people that were showing up for those shows, because you guys, that was your first headlining European tour anyway. Yeah. What was going through your heads when you guys started out on that?
So I think this something like this. I think that was probably the sound that was happening for a while there.
But you had to be. I mean, you had to be a little bit freaked out about people actually showing up.
Yeah,
you know, whether or not this thing is going to work over, 6,000 miles away from home.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we started. The first show we played was in Milan at a club that we'd played on the first tour we did in Europe with a couple other big. We're opening for Intronaut in the Ocean. Mm-hmm. And Earthship was opening that tour, and we played the same place, and we had no idea if there was going to be anybody there. It was, we usually fly in and then play shows the same day, so we're also a little bit out of sorts, trying to deal with merchandise and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then the place just exploded. That one's in the video. One of the videos, you can see that show, and I think that Whitey, who was doing the video stuff for us, who also shot the Prehistoric Dog and Wires and Hank is Dead videos. I think he was, I mean, one of the reasons why you see all that, why it's captured the way it is because he was living it the same way we were. He had no idea what to expect, and it was pretty surprising to see the kind of reactions that we did.
I mean, you must have just been kind of flying high after that first show too then, right?
Well, we drove most of the time and...
You guys just want to quit? Is that...
No, I was happy.
It was nice. It was really nice.
Thank you. Fuck. Oh my god. Yeah, yeah.
So, you remember what I was telling you about? As your kid gets older, it gets harder and harder.
Yeah,
and harder.
Yeah. You guys are like my older kids. Yeah. Yeah. Right now, anyway. I'm sorry.
The oldest kids.
That was weird. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
Kids who are older than you.
Everything really awkward. No, you guys.
But yeah, that show. I mean, that tour was just. It was the video really does a great job of showing just how kind of mind blowing that tour was for us. I mean, it's hard to put into words those kinds of things. So, just watch the video.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I couldn't. You know, when I was.
And then that's my answer. My answer is the video.
Well, I mean, when I was watching that, because I mean. You know, you probably answer questions like this all the time, but I was watching it for the first time today, like about, 2 hours before you guys got here.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't help but feeling like super excited for you. Like as the, as part three finally came down, like, I was just like, oh my God, these guys are doing it. So
it's exciting for me to watch those over again whenever I do have a chance. Cause
yeah,
then
because
you're
a very
depressed
person.
No, it's just because it's really hard to get electricity where I live, so.
You're just super excited you can watch something.
Yeah.
And you choose to watch a video about yourself.
I like flashing lights.
Now we know how Aaron operates over here. Yeah. I guess all Aarons are
surprise?
Very narcissistic. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever think that you would be in this position that you're in now?
No.
No.
It was always the dream, though, right?
I don't know if, I mean, yeah, I guess, I think my goal was always just, gosh, I sure would like to be able to do a U.S. tour. And then, I went on I didn't go on my first tour until I was 30 years old and did a short little West Coast tour. And then I don't know how old I was when we started this band, 44. So Yeah, I mean, the kind of stuff that's happened since, you know, just getting to the point where, oh, yeah, we can go around the whole country and actually not lose money. That was amazing enough. And then, the stuff that's followed has just been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I think that probably one of my happiest moments was Aaron and I were sitting in the van.
And I left.
And we were just figuring about, yes. I was like, oh, thank God. Farting up a storm. But, we were just talking about how much I think we're actually going to take home from this. And I said, well, if you break it down to hourly, it's like working part-time at a 7-Eleven, but we get to do this. And I was like, that is fine by me. Part-time minimum wage job, but I get to get on stage and freak out. So that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I remember that moment.
I've been paying to tour for a long, long time before that. So
yeah. Is it finally to a point now where you guys are making money off of these things too?
I mean, this is
like this is our day job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fantastic.
It's our night
job.
It's
insane. Yeah, it's amazing. Never thought it would happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the unattainable dream of
being
able to actually just make a living playing music. It was like, that would be so amazing. That'll never happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's like me and winning the lottery. Like I make all these plans for it.
Yeah.
And then just
it's sort of hard to
fucking heartbreaking
to actually
week.
Get better at winning the lottery though. You can't really practice that.
Huh. Shit. Well. So has that feeling kind of subsided in you guys though? Has the excitement gone away and now this is just part of normal life now, or what?
Yeah, this is so boring.
No. Last night was the first show we played since
middle of December.
It seems like a long time, but I was really nervous about playing again. I don't know why, but I just get nervous.
Yeah.
And 2-3 songs into the set, I was really, really, really excited and freaking out, and I had a blast. And if it ever stops, then I'll stop. But
yeah,
I can't imagine it. If it stops being fun, then I'm gonna do something else.
I take it you guys still get along very well. It's not like a Beach Boys situation.
Yeah, we get along all right.
Yeah.
And we're also, I mean, you can't. It's pretty exciting. We're gonna go to Australia in like 3 days.
Yeah, I saw that. Have you guys ever been down there?
No.
Brian has.
Yes. Yes.
I have.
Yes.
But not David not and in I, a yeah. band situation.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
Vacation yeah. sort of thing. But yeah, I'm super
so
excited.
So how can you not be excited like to get a chance to go down there? That's something my wife played music for a long time and one of her all-time goals was to be able to go to Australia and she never did. So, haha. Oh wait. No, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, that's great, you guys. Speaking of that, let's go to our second musical break. This is number 13 off of the album Murder the Mountains by Red Fang, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. And hopefully these guys will wake the fuck up. Who knows? Who knows? All right, we'll be back. We'll be right back. I just wanted to say,
I'm also
tired. I'm also tired because I was up at 2 o'clock this morning watching Barbarella. So, you know, I don't.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah. Wow, I forgot about the Orgasmerator in that movie.
Yeah, murdered by orgasm. That's a good way to go.
Yikes. But she totally blew the machine up, man. She was all woman.
I've never seen this movie.
Really?
Jane Fonda. Just watch the opening credits. You'll be good.
Yeah, pretty much. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Red Fang, who is sitting here with me in Dining Room Studios. They've had coffee. They've had more pizza.
Why is it called Dining Room Studios?
Because it's in a dining room.
That's actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. See, I don't go for these jokes about elephants and Safeway bags where you have to think about it a long time after you've had three whiskeys, you know? I mean, come on. You want to tell that joke again?
Sure.
Here, I'm really good at acting.
I feel like such an
What's
idiot.
What's the joke?
For
I don't think I've heard it.
Yeah, Aaron, I don't think you've ever heard this. How do you get an elephant into a Safeway bag?
I can't figure it out.
Okay. You take the S out of safe and the F out of way. Think about it.
I'm thinking. You can't see me thinking on the air, so.
His brow is furrowed.
Wait a minute. Okay, the S out of safe and the... There's no F in way.
Should I put in like a boom-tsh at the... we'll put that in.
Just
post.
A constant laugh track.
Or either that or crickets, one of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the trombone sound. Sad trombone.
there you go.
Or a cricket doing on the drums going boom-tsh.
Whoa.
With a horn section. Going wah, 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 ba-dum-tsh. Well, we could do a course of that. I'll be trombone.
I appreciate you guys not leaving during that extended.
I didn't know we were allowed to leave.
That's what my wife said.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you.
No, actually, she didn't.
Thanks
say
for
that.
Joining
she
me
said,
again.
Get out of here.
So we left the first half kind of talking about your tour experiences, and I wanted to hit on one thing that. You guys posted on like your blog a while back. I think it was 2010. You guys were on tour and you got in a little fender bender.
Yeah.
Can you regale us with the tale?
Bent the shit out of that fender.
Yeah. I still like Gibson's just about the same as Fender's.
Call back.
Although a Gibson never saved our life.
No, no, no. After I say callback, you're not supposed to keep going on with that, with
what?
The joke.
What? There's no effing way.
Aaron, do you want to tell the story since you were
driving? Sure. Brian was passenging while I drove, and we had played a show, and it was the first show of a tour with...
Valiant Thor.
Thank you.
I'll be interjecting.
I was still working at my old place of work. And we played on Thursday night, and I wanted to get back in time to go to work on Friday because I couldn't really miss very much work. And so I said, I'm not going to drink, and I'll just drive us back after the show. No problem. So I was driving, and we were about an hour north of Portland, and the roads are completely clear. I was right in the middle lane, and this little cute baby deer ran out into the middle of the freeway.
It really was adorable.
And I went, uh-oh, and then was that too loud? And I swerved you know, because I saw this eyeball and I didn't want to run into it. So, and then lost control of the van. And we kind of were skidding around the road a little bit. And then right as I saw that we were going to hit the median and that we were done for, I said to Brian, sorry. And then we...
it was adorable. It was it was like he spilled milk.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then we proceeded to execute a perfect double roll and land right on the tires, for which I would like to take... I can't actually take any credit at all, but and then there's steam coming out everywhere and the top was kind of crushed and the windows were blown out and David was missing and John, who I think David and John and Chris were all sleeping maybe.
Yeah.
And Chris had been in the middle seat and he was in the back seat and David's like feet were sticking out or still in the van or something. And then we were like, oh no, David's gone. We lost David. And John was kind of freaking out cause he was asleep and then he had blood on his head and I don't know what happened.
Chris thought my brain was thought he was holding in my brain or something. He's like, "You're gonna be all right, buddy," because it was so dark you could only see blood.
I think people switched seats too.
Chris ended up in the back seat.
Yeah, somehow they switched.
Well, did you guys? I seem to remember there was some sort of like modification that you had made to the van where there was like a sleeping area in the back. Yep. Is that correct?
Yep.
And somebody was up there.
David was on the loft.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that was it was a steel cage with a platform on it, and it acted basically as a roll bar, which I think prevented the
saved us from dying.
Yeah, more or less.
And I would say more importantly that it kept the equipment from flying.
Much more important that the equipment not get hurt. And
no, that didn't hurt. The equipment didn't hurt us. Yeah. It kept all the equipment in place, so we didn't have thousands of pounds of gear just crushing our skulls.
Oh, sorry,
but we went back the next day and to get the gear, and Aaron opened up David's guitar case. And I couldn't see from where I was standing. He said, "Oh, no." And I said, "What?" You know, because David loves his guitar. He's like, "I think the E string's out of tune."
It wasn't. We borrowed a van and drove up to the wrecking yard where the van was and loaded all the gear out. The people at the wrecking yard were shocked that not only all of us were still alive, but that I think John got one stitch.
I had one single stitch in my wrist.
I mean, for the sake of being accurate, Adam actually had a broken rib, so that's a major injury, right?
That kind of hurts too, right?
Can't stitch a rib.
Can't stitch a rib. Yeah. But his
you can't really do much for a broken rib either, right?
No. Pills and booze. That's
nice.
It.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you could do that for anything.
Yeah. So. I do that for Tuesdays.
Taco Tuesdays at your place. I'm here.
Just apply. You're always welcome. To the rib.
Yeah, usually.
That's insane, though.
It was insane. It was the scariest thing that I've ever been through in my life. It's so funny to talk about now, but it scared
the shit out of me. One of the people that were asleep, right?
I was asleep. I woke up when the van started swerving, and then it was just chaos and crunching, and you know, I was fucking scared.
You were in a dead sleep, so when you woke up, I think you said, I don't know, at least 10 times, "I'm alive! I'm alive!" And I'm I got you the first time, because if you weren't, you wouldn't be saying
that. I was
that.
Freaking out, man. I mean,
I'm alive!
I was shaking.
Well, I equate it to, you know, like if somebody like bumps you or something when you're in dead sleep, you wake up and you're just like, huh, you know, you kind of freak out there
for a second.
Because nothing really makes sense.
Right.
Because you're coming out
of that
mode. It
was like dreaming, like you're tripping and falling, except you're actually being thrown around in a van that's flipping for real.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is like that, what you experienced is like times 8,000 to something like that, because you're actually hitting steel and hearing crunching around you and stuff. I mean,
and
that
then we
must
didn't,
have been
it was the first
crazy.
Show of the tour, you know? And so of course my first thought after I realized everyone was alive, I was like, fuck, what are we going to do about the van? And then I got carted off to the hospital.
Yeah.
And they pumped me full of really good painkillers and stuff. And
what time was that, by the way?
It was like 2:30.
2:30 in the morning?
Yeah, something like that.
And so you're just exhausted at this point, too.
Yeah.
Like,
well, by the time I got home, it was like 8 in the morning, maybe, by the time we got back to Portland.
We took a taxi.
And we ended up playing a show that night in Portland. And it was really weird.
Why?
Well,
because we were all totally in shock.
Because, I was really shook up that me and all my best friends almost died, and I was on a lot of Vicodin. And I was like, I can't play, we're going to play a show. But we played a show and took 2 days off to find a van to borrow, and then caught back up with the tour in San Francisco and continued on for another
month. Yeah, yeah. I'm actually, and why this interested me so much is that I'm surprised that this doesn't happen more often with touring bands, because I mean, like a lot of touring bands, you guys are on the road all the time, right? I mean, something's bound to happen.
Unfortunately, it does. I mean,
do you hear of
we were talking about it on that trip. We were talking about it had just happened to another band who wasn't as lucky as us, and we were talking about it, and then it happened to us.
Yeah.
And then of course Baroness just had that accident this summer.
You know, yeah, okay. Okay. I do remember that.
I think it actually does happen quite a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
it's an occupational
with
hazard.
Way worse results than we had. We were super, super lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. So has it changed the way that you drive, Aaron?
No.
Well, you think hit the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one. Well, but I so far haven't encountered that circumstance again. But yeah. We shot a video not too long after that, which involved driving straight through things a lot. And that was basically excellent training for next time there's something coming. Yeah. I know that it'll be just fine to just blast through it, and then maybe we'll make a deer pie afterwards.
Oh, my God. That's just crazy, man. That's just crazy. Speaking of your videos, switch gears here a little bit. Every video, you guys have three videos now, right?
Four. Officially four. Four.
Officially four.
Yeah, there's a live video that's footage from that that same tour documentary you're talking about for Dirt Wizard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know if I've seen that one. But who did...
Everyone should go to the internet.
Yeah, there you go.
Redfang.net.internet.com.
Yeah. But all of your... Well, the three videos in particular, Prehistoric Dog, Hank is Dead, and Wires? Mm-hmm. Is it Wires?
Yeah. Yeah.
All very, very enjoyable videos. Who does the plans these things out and directs and shoots these things for you guys?
That'd be our director, our evil genius, Whitey McConaughey.
Oh, it's the same guy that did the European mm-hmm. videos too.
Yeah,
nice. Is it? And I've been waiting to ask you guys this question.
Time's up. We got to go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Waited too long.
If you would please pour every drink that you have into the sink, and then you guys can just leave right now.
Even the ones I already drank?
Yep. All right. Yep. There's a toilet in the hallway.
In the hallway. This house is crazy.
Awesome.
Breaking all the rules.
Yeah. But these videos, when I first saw like Prehistoric Dog, I was like, oh, cool. These guys are into LARPing. You know, and like, and it's totally funny, and... It just looks like every video that you guys have made, you've had a blast.
It's true.
Doing it. There you go. You just answered my question. Yeah. Episode over. 2 years of waiting for that. Done. Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, what's kind of the process for these things, though? Is it long? Is it a long process? Like the video shoot itself? Or are you
it's
guys
different.
Sometimes like months, you know,
sometimes
of planning?
Well, if like the Wires video, we... started it, and then we go on tour, and then we come back and do some more, and then have to leave again. So it seemed like it took a long time. I don't know how many days we actually shot
that. It was more
that.
Shooting, I think, than the other ones. Although Hank is Dead felt like a lot of shooting, too. Usually what happens is that Whitey will have a bunch of ideas or mm-hmm. one idea and then say, meet me at a bar, and I'm not going to tell you which one or at what time, but you better be there. And we find out where he is, and then... he gives us the idea, and we kind of laugh about it, and we say, okay, fine, we trust you. And,
yeah, and there's no way you're going to pull that off.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't trust – I mean, we didn't trust him. We weren't really sure that the Prehistoric Dog thing was going to work out. There was a lot of preparation for that one, but the actual shooting was pretty fast because we had to clean hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beer cans
right,
by
right.
hand and cut them all apart so that he could have the raw materials to make the outfits.
And guys out on that, right?
What?
Didn't she help you guys out on
what,
that
drink
one?
It? I don't know. She's drank beers with us.
Okay.
Does that count?
Maybe that was it.
She was
the one that showed me that video.
She made some cans, that's for sure.
At Ben Varelin's place. That's where I said.
That's
where
you
first saw
it.
That. Yeah.
Oh, I thought
yeah.
you meant that's where she helped us. I don't remember.
No,
you
no,
no. Ever
no.
being over there.
No.
So maybe she helped in mentally. But I don't remember her cleaning out the cans, but maybe she was there. What am I talking about?
I am going to highlight
hey,
that part.
Who likes air travel?
What? Can't take a cab in New York City.
So, I mean, but yeah, the funnest, I mean, super fun experience on each one of these
fun.
Things.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
only thing about the Wires video was so, like, so much fun during the day. Just like, you know, the most fun you could ever have. Without,
well, just
with your pants on.
The dash cam video in that music video is great because you can see the actual enjoyment on each one of your faces.
We're not actors. That's
when you're yeah. when you're like smashing through a wall of TVs mm-hmm, in a station mm-hmm. wagon.
But at night when we had to clean all that shit.
Oh yeah.
And it's
yeah.
getting dark and it's cold and it's raining and we're trying to sweep up.
Wait a minute, you're the stars. You shouldn't have to do that.
That's
Fuck,
what
no
that's
one told
what
us
I
that.
Kept saying. Oh, man. Keep sweeping.
Dude, I was the guy with the... All right.
So yeah. Have you got anything in the works? Is there a new one coming up or what?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that all you can say?
Yes.
Top secret.
It's always top secret, but Whitey has a really incredible idea for the next video.
It's going to be amazing.
That's all he said. Meet me.
Yeah, he hasn't even said that.
Meet me at the canyon. Yeah, yeah.
No, he doesn't tell us where we're supposed to meet.
And how did you guys, with wires, how did you guys get hooked up with Brian Poussin?
We got lucky. We knew one of the weekends that we were going to be shooting, I knew that he was going to be in town.
And he was a fan of yours as well.
Yeah, we had a little bit of contact with him before, so I knew he knew who we were. And we somehow were lucky enough to get in touch with him and just asked if he wanted to do a cameo, like, take 5 minutes. And he said, sure. And he came out and hung out for half a day and was great.
It was it was amazing timing, too, because I think with our tour schedule... And Whitey was doing work out of town as well, so I think we had like either two. There was 2 weekends. If we didn't do it in one of those 2 weekends, then it wasn't going to get done for months. So, and then he Brian ended up was playing 3 shows in Portland that same weekend, and so you know it wasn't as though he flew out or anything. It was just just came together, which was awesome. Mm-hmm, yeah. And that he was willing to do it was amazing, you know, because... Yeah.
He's a really nice guy.
He's on the TV. I don't know if you know.
We did a show with him, too, after that in Portland. It was just three comedians and us. It was a really fun show.
Ron Funches?
Yeah, Ron Funches, Ian Carmel, Brian Posehn, and Red Fang.
It was awesome.
We need to three do more comedy rock shows.
So it was three comedians.
There's three
and
comics
then,
and a bunch
punch
of comedians. Line.
Oh,
damn it.
Now you go.
All right, now you go.
There's no effing way.
Call back.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm sorry.
I'm not an actor.
I'm not sorry.
Is
that where your phone plays like a song for somebody when they call?
No, that's when you bring up something that happened in the past.
Oh, but I thought you said that it meant that you couldn't do it again.
Is it like downstage?
No, that's what I said. That's
that
I just said that to you.
You can't do it again.
Yeah, that's the rule. Just for
your inflection is.
Or is it? Or is it that it was so good, confusing to me, that he might have the job and he's getting a call back?
That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't noticed yet, I'm terrible at this. So just
give me another 2 hours.
Just roll with it. Yeah, yeah. You want another coffee or something?
I'm finished with my coffee and Bailey's. I might
have some more. Help yourself.
Freaking out, man.
David, you want to jump in here?
Oh, there it goes. There it goes.
You could hear the headphones.
Well, actually, we're running out of time here. So,
oh, geez, let's hurry up and get some more questions in.
Yeah, yeah.
Favorite color blue.
Like I said. Like I said, when what are your influences?
Music.
Off air callback. That's what that is. Okay. Well, hey, I just wanted to say thank you so much for stopping by and hanging out with me on air and off. It's been a pleasure meeting you guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing the show tonight. And what's coming up? When does the new tour start? Because this won't go up until next weekend. So.
We will already be in, what do you call it? Not Atlanta. Australia. By the time this goes up.
That was close.
And then we're going to be going to Europe all of June and half of July.
Okay, great.
And then we're recording in the middle of April, and so we're hoping a new record to come out in September, and then we'll be doing some touring in the U.S. in September.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Are you playing new songs at these shows as well?
Yes. At which shows?
During the tour.
I probably in June we'll be playing a boatload of them.
Yeah.
But for...
Oh, are you going to have... Is the new album going to be out before the tour? It'll be recorded by then. Oh, okay.
It'll be done. Okay. As far as we're concerned, it'll be...
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be out of our hands, but not in yours, the royal yours.
Yeah.
Things are starting not to make sense. Okay. Perfect time to...
That's a perfect segue to
end things. Redfang.net. Go and check it out for all the tour dates and new record release, apparently, coming out, coming your way soon. And hey, you can also find, what's that?
Oh,
what were you going to say?
I just want to thank you for having us into your beautiful
home. Yeah, thanks for the pizza and the delicious guacamole.
The guacamole was excellent.
Yes.
Thank your wife for me.
Well, you guys are always welcome here. I'd love to have you back in, sometime in the future if you're in Seattle again. So,
thank you so much.
Hit us up, man. Hit us up. And thank you for listening to the Air Raid Podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode with Adam Zaks. Oh, wait. No, sorry. Strike that. Pickwick. Pickwick will be here next week. I'm trying to think 3 weeks into the future, so just deal with that. Deal with the space-time continuum. All right, thanks, everybody. This is Hank is Dead. And we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. I'm going to re-record that. Bye.